Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Jesse, oh, yeah. You sorry. Gotta extend it.
I'm sorry.
That is Hans Zimmer.
I should not have
We've
even
paid
done it.
A lot of money for that track. D'Anthony, how are you?
I'm living the dream, man. I couldn't possibly be happier. Just look at my face.
Oh, gosh. You are always just such a ray.
A real shot of life.
Ugh. Yeah.
A real shot of life.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
And I appreciate you appreciating me.
Yeah.
I really do on this one. He's got to go public with this.
It is.
It's still...
Yeah, this one's public.
Yeah, it is.
It's only six people. There we go. Now it's starting to spike.
You better calm it down, bro.
Tech issues, bro. Audio and video. But we got some breaking news, Jesse.
What?
Breaking news.
What?
The Supreme Court has ruled that Trump has to show his tax returns. Dan, are you surprised by that?
Wait, that he does have to? And that's not what I'm
he
seeing.
He does.
No, yeah. It says does, yeah. The Supreme Court just shut the door on seeing Trump's tax returns before the election. I'm not sure what information you're reading, but he doesn't have to show anything.
Hang on.
Interessant.
President cannot block release of financial records.
There's two separate rulings. One is that he can't block it, but two is that they can't compel it either. So at least
explain that to the audience, because there's some confusion going back and forth, and as Trump is raging against the Supreme Court right now.
So legally, this is what CNN says. Legally, it was a bad day because the Supreme Court, or not because, but they ruled that ruled against his efforts to block turning over his financial documents. But mm-hmm. Because of the way the court case went, he doesn't have to. Like, there won't be anything before this election, so it won't really matter.
Oh, got it. Because this is saying the Supreme Court on Thursday cleared the way for prosecutors in New York to see President Trump's financial records in a stunning defeat. So my question is this. If the prosecutors can see them immediately, right, what is to prevent this from leaking? Because let's face it, every single thing within the White House has leaked at this point.
If anything is kind of available to anyone, you would expect they would have leaked it at this point. I think the issue for Trump is the FEC thing. He may or may not have committed some campaign finance bullshit by using campaign money to pay for like hush money and shit, I think is the case. Am I mistaken about that? I believe that's what's going on.
Got it.
I'm not sure, because here's the thing with Trump's tax returns, and I've thought about this forever since everybody's been demanding them. Any smart businessman knows every single tax loophole there is. There's a reason why Facebook doesn't pay taxes. There's a reason why Amazon doesn't pay taxes. I guarantee you, when you see Trump's taxes, he will probably have reported $0 on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand what the big mystery is of that. I guess to normal people who don't have businesses and things like that, it would be shocking to be like, oh, they don't pay taxes, but... No, none of these corporations pay taxes.
No, if he's got like an umbrella company that owns a bunch of LLCs or something like that, or even a bunch of S-Corps or whatever it happens to be, he'll declare at the end of the year from his personal finances, he'll declare all the revenue that it generated, but also all the investment and loss. So it could very well be that he pays $0 in taxes every single year. I think the problem that he had before, at least this is the speculation, is that he's not as wealthy as what he's told everyone he is, and he doesn't want people to find that out. That's what I've heard. But okay. I don't know. I mean, that seems ridiculous, but it's also Trump, who's got the ego of an insecure child. So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. They're asking to turn up Dan's audio. Not that that's a huge surprise.
Can you turn up my audio?
Yeah.
Turn Giorgio?
Up Dan's audio
and I think
over here.
My audio needs to go up.
It's on our side.
It's on our side, so I would crank it, Grant. We're in Austin, Texas. Jesse and I are here. We're reading the message boards right now, and they're like, hey, I think they're in three different locations. No, Jesse just flew in from Los Angeles last night.
Yes.
We are in Austin, Texas, currently, and D'Anthony Holloway is in Wilmington, North Carolina. So bear with us as we begin the transition to Austin, Texas. But we'll be trying to go live with you every single day here as we have two studios now set up currently until we build our mega studio. Because we've got to put a sex dungeon in the new studio. That was Dan's request.
I don't like the word dungeon, but whatever.
Sex dungeon.
No, I don't like that.
Right.
You know. It just has a negative connotation to it. I call it like just a sex basement.
Okay, cool.
Oh, sure.
Cool, yeah, absolutely.
And that way I can make like basement and backdoor puns a lot, which I like to do. So,
who doesn't?
It's more about the wordplay than the actual fornication.
Sure, 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 sure.
The fuck are you laughing at, Alec? God damn it. I'm trying to concentrate over here on these butthole jokes.
It's more about the wordplay than the sexual fornification of it. I love it. Yeah. As always, we're talking about the coronavirus because, let's face it, we cannot avoid China any fucking more. And now it's popped up. We're calling this the second wave now, I guess. Everything's going to get shut down again. All that bullshit.
Maybe despite the fact that deaths have plummeted.
Yeah, so interesting. As we discussed in the show last week, it's becoming clear now that things just aren't adding up. The lines that we've been fed since the beginning of this bullshit are too many to recount. But among the narrative is it spreads fast, so we need to social distance and quarantine to prevent hospitals from being overrun. Never happened, right?
Yep.
On that one. It spreads fast and is deadly, so we need to quarantine and wear masks in public. You know, at this point, can we just all say nobody knows nothing, and if you want to fucking wear a mask, wear a mask. If not, don't. And let's move on to fucking lives.
Yeah, like what you and I, and not just us, but a lot of other people said way back in late March and early April, has turned out to be true. The more testing we do, we find out the death rate is lower and lower and lower and lower, right?
Yeah.
And even despite the return to normalcy where, remember it was the third week of May where all those outdoor parties happened, like at the Lake of the Ozarks and all around Florida and all these other places. They just went wild against governor's orders. They just fucking lost their minds and everybody was partying. What we've seen instead of what we would expect if what the government and the World Health Organization and the CDC were telling us would be a huge uptick in deaths during those time periods. And that just didn't happen. I'm sorry for anybody that's butthurt about reality, but it just didn't happen. As a matter of fact, deaths have continuously gone down despite the fact that we've increased testing from 100 to 700,000 a fucking day. And the death rate is plummeting. And not just the rate, but the actual number of deaths is plummeting as well. This is absolute horseshit.
So cases have gone up.
Cases have gone up,
but
though.
But deaths have gone
down. Of course
down.
Cases have gone up because they're testing more people. This is just like the goddamn just like the autism thing that happened in the 1990s. More and more people started fucking testing or getting diagnosed with autism. So everybody was in an uproar to fucking figure out why. Why are people getting autism? Oh, it must be fucking vaccines. Thanks, Jenny McCarthy. And no, that was nonsense. Anytime things go wrong, people look for a boogeyman.
It was just more people testing for one thing.
This is really basic data science. And the fact that the government and all these CDC people and the WHO people who do this for a living couldn't get it right shows just how worthless they are as organizations, which is why I'm glad that we've left the WHO officially now.
Yeah, and a lot of people are bitching about that now as well. But, you know, again, I touched on this a little earlier today. When you have a communist country like China that isn't going to give you accurate numbers or accurate reporting on the disease itself, what the fuck is the WHO going to do about it?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean,
they going to do?
They're just fucking wearing blindfolds and throwing darts at a fucking dartboard that may not even exist. So they can get fucked.
And we're giving them millions of dollars for what? Like, if you can't control what all the other countries are doing and you have no fucking idea, why are we going to give you a gajillion dollars to go out and look for shit that isn't there that you'll never find? I mean, they still haven't found those fucking doctors in China.
Yeah. Well, now U.S. health officials are saying that. So we're operating under this presumption that there's 3.2 to 3.5 million cases so far in the U.S., and U.S. health officials are saying it's more like 10 times that, which is about 10% of the U.S. population, which drives that fucking death rate down from it's 52 times higher than the fucking flu. Actually, no, it's not. It might be 3 or 4 times higher. And for people under 55, it's commensurate. So get fucked, man. I mean, this is bullshit. We fucking this might be Somebody that I trust very much and is a very, very smart person told me the other day that he thinks this might be the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on not just the American people, but global civilization. Like, honestly.
I honestly have to agree at this point because, you know, it's taken over the entire world. And we're all being judged on it. Other people are judging others on it.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
I think it's probably what's going to come. The election's going to come down to mask versus no mask and what you believe versus what the media is telling you. Now, the media wants this to go on forever.
Of course they do.
CNN has its highest ratings in 40 years because of this second wave. They want to push this narrative until the end of fucking time if they can. But luckily, there will be an election to break this up. I just don't know what's going to happen to our economy in the meantime. There's a couple other stories that we'll get to further down the road here in today's show that will further kind of test this theory. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm not buying into the hype.
Well, here are the numbers. Let's just go through it. The most recent total number of cases has been reported as 3.2 million. It's actually 10 times that much. It's about 32 to 35 million. That's about a 0.4% death rate. Now, we shut down our fucking economy for a 0.4% death rate for a virus that's affected about 10% of the population. So 0.4% of 10% of our population is affected by this in a mortal way. And we've decided to spend, I don't know, $5 to $7 trillion on reboots and destroy who knows how many hundreds of thousands of small businesses, which is, by the way, the only true path to upward mobility. So we fucked up our economy for a generation.
Not only that, but how many cases of child abuse, domestic abuse, and suicides have gone on during this pandemic? And are those numbers like equivalent to these? Because I'd be curious into those as well. When you're locked inside, especially with you know, people that aren't in the best relationship, or you don't have the best relationship with your kids or whatever.
Boom.
What the fuck is going on behind closed doors? Like with Jessie, she is getting raps on the beak on the daily, dude.
Quit it.
Because she's stuck indoors.
Stuck indoors.
Yeah.
Everything I love about life is gone. The term social distancing, to me, is a nightmare. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it really is, though. I know you're joking around, but that is a nightmare.
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I just don't want to get into, like, a depressing conversation. But, like, socially distancing is my worst nightmare. But
yeah,
anyway.
It's going to have downstream effects on the way that we act and treat each other as human beings.
Yes.
Which is bad enough. But, I mean, I'm more concerned with because I've spent my entire life social distancing. I'm more concerned with the economic impact the medical impact that the economy has when there's a bad economy. So particularly for for older people and for poor people, the availability of medicine and shit like that, like the reason that poor communities have higher death rates and lower lifespans is because, one, they're in food deserts. They don't have access to good food. Two, they have bad medicine. Medicine is preventative medicine is much more effective than treatment. Everybody understands that, right? Like,
yes.
Eating right and taking care of your body, like prenatal vitamins, for example, are way better than having to fucking do surgery when you're going through your pregnancy or delivery
that,
or something like
or
that.
Or, like, you know, eating right instead of blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, all of that
right.
shit.
Right, exactly. And most poor people don't have access to that. That has a huge impact. Their ability to fucking, like, my ability to go out and buy supplements and the right kind of food and all that stuff, mm-hmm. that's what makes these old rich people live so old. It's not because they're just fucking lucky or they're spending money on better medicine. It's not even about medicine at that point. There's so many things that go into that, and we're fucking not only robbing people their ability to operate at the low level they were already operating at, but we're stopping them from ever getting above that, at least in this generation. So good job, government. And, you know, honestly, despite Trump fighting back on some of this stuff, it's been pretty weak from his office, to be frank. And he's done some stuff like leave the WHO, but I think he's just throwing his crowd a bone there. I think he's been an abject failure as well during this coronavirus bullshit.
I would agree with that.
So what's the answer? Does he get on TV and says, hey, man, fuck it. go out and live your life and you know, do that and go against the governors?
Yeah, I mean, he's done that to some degree already, but the 10th Amendment prevents him from doing certain things, and it exists for a reason. I get it. But as far as anything he could affect at the government level, like, he sets the budget for the executive branch. He can remove funding for stuff. He can do all, there's all sorts of things he can do.
Well, I wonder if any of that's going to come into play, because what was it, the day before yesterday, he was talking about pulling funding for anybody who doesn't open up their schools this fall.
Yeah, I think he should.
I do too. I just don't know if he can do that or if that's a state-by-state case basis there.
I mean, he can say it. Whether they fucking follow it is kind of like, what's he really going to do, I guess, in the end. But just the messaging, the things he's been saying for the last couple of months are inconsistent with reality. Just like everybody else. Nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about. So, you know, I haven't heard him or anybody from his administration make that case that, hey, these numbers are all shitty. We don't understand what's really going on here, but we do know that the death rate, the more people we test, is plummeting. He should be on TV every single day calling people liars for what they're fucking trying to stoke the fear on this shit. And he's not doing it. I mean, he does it on Twitter a little bit, but, you know, you're the leader of the country. He's too busy fucking talking shit to Bubba Wallace on Twitter instead of leading the fucking country.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Yeah, of course. But he is going all in on, you know, people on Twitter. And as of about an hour ago, they are still looking to hold that convention, the Republican National Convention, with people. Now they're looking about possibly doing it outdoors. So we'll see how that holds up. Meanwhile, I haven't heard from Joe Biden, and I don't know where he is.
No, he put out a video, like he did a town hall kind of thingy like 2 days ago, and it was bad, man. I mean, it was the worst form I've seen him in so far.
It almost feels like Kim Jong-un, where it's like, is he dead too? And they're just kind of putting out old videos that they shoot a bunch in advance, and then they're just kind of pushing these out.
Stacking content?
Stacking content, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. This one was live, and it had current issues in it, so I think... But it wasn't, again, maybe anything that sounds normal is like that, but I don't know if you've seen this video circulating around, but it's bad, man. It's probably the worst I've ever seen him look.
I feel bad because, you know, he's got dementia and that's real. And, we were talking to some Democrat friends last night of ours and they were like, man, we're waiting to see who I go, how do you get excited about Biden? And they're like, we're waiting to see who the VP is, because even he has said he's more than likely going to die in office during his first term. And whoever he picks as the VP is the most important decision that the United States is facing, because obviously he's assuming he's going to win.
Right.
And look, from the Democratic side, that's true. But what a weird situation that you push Bernie out of the way, who was, let's face it, was built for the exact moment. Protests and everything right now, that motherfucker would have been in the streets, dude, with everyone else. You pushed him out of the way to get Biden in there, who's dying, and now you're waiting for the VP to take over for who might possibly win in a couple years. Like, it's very, very strange. And they're right now, there isn't a front runner. That they've been talking about that girl, Tammy Duckworth, Dan.
Obviously... think that a lot of her political ideas are nonsense, but she checks a lot of boxes. She's a lieutenant colonel in the Army, or she was. From Illinois, obviously. I think she has a bilateral amputee from a helicopter crash or something, I believe it was. I don't remember exactly, but...
I think she lost both her legs, correct?
Yeah, bilateral amputee, that's what that means. She's... Gotcha. You know, it is what it is as far as that goes, but usually what you do with the VP slot is... you know, pick somebody from a swing state that you're worried about winning so you can win that state.
Right.
But the problem with that is there are no candidates from any of the swing states that are legitimate. I mean, I guess.
Maybe Georgia, I guess.
Yeah, you know, maybe. But that woman's crazy.
Stacey Abrams. Yeah, I agree. I don't know who's in Florida. I don't know who is left, but they're running out of time. I mean, we're in the middle of July right now.
Yeah, but maybe things have changed now. Maybe. You need somebody that represents a swing ideology instead of a swing state. You know what I mean? So if they go that way and it works, then that might be a game changer for people. Even if they don't win and it is somewhat effective, at least in that part of it, that would be a game changer, because then, you know, everybody's on the table. You just have to get the person to represent the right ideas and not necessarily the right state.
which is probably Elizabeth Warren, to be honest with you. But
maybe. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's like, I don't even know how to explain that, man. That's like
white bread on mayonnaise.
Well, it's definitely not swing ideology. That's for sure.
She swings.
No, what she's means by that is that, like, neither one of these people represent the middle at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it would
yeah.
need to be somebody that's like a tiny bit into the right in order to make up for it not being from a swing
state.
Oh,
then get Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, I actually think the other army officer from Hawaii would probably be a better choice than Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah.
If that is the case, if that's their presumption and they're trying to win some ideological war, I believe that would probably be a better fit.
Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
because she's a little more I don't know what the word is, but she's a little more
central,
fucking down the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Central.
Yeah.
You corrected me on bilateral earlier, as if I know what that is. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I didn't correct you. Dan did.
Yeah.
I've never heard the term bilateral.
Yeah.
Right.
Legless.
Well,
legless is all I've heard.
Legolas. Like that dude from Lord of the Rings, you mean?
Yeah. Well, Derek White's clothing company is called Straight Legless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's doing it anymore, but his shirts were the best back in the day.
I think he actually started making them again recently.
Oh, did he? Good.
Yeah.
Good. I fucking love Derek White. Obviously, he's on the show every Saturday. Tune in to Savage Saturdays on Saturday with Derek White. And next up, fake racism is the new trend. An American tradition is what we're calling it now. I think if you missed out on the racism FOMO and you didn't quite get in there, now's your chance. It's an American trend. It's happening in Oregon County right now. The county commissioner, actually.
Former county
commissioner.
This fucking
guy. Yeah, former now. Yeah, Jesus Christ. He admitted to police this week that the racist letter he received, which you may have heard about, was sent by somebody close to him, a.k.a. himself.
Whoops.
Mm. Whoopsies.
Hello.
Hi-o.
Usually, if you're going to send yourself fake hate mail, probably don't put yourself as the return sender. Our return address as well.
Is that what happened?
No. He was getting interviewed by police, and somehow, I mean, they figured it out and questioned him on it, and he admitted that it was him. I'm sure they had to have pretty good evidence to that effect, or he never would have admitted it.
No. I saw the letters, and, you know, I was like, they were very basic, like three lines, and it was just like, man, when I saw it, I was like, this feels like a guy who just really wants to get involved in the story, you know?
Yeah.
The American story of racism now, where it's just like, it happened to me too. Did it? It's because you sent yourself your own racist letter.
Yeah
it's oppression FOMO, like I said before, but this isn't like... Go ahead, Jesse.
No, I was going to relate it to Casey Anthony. I'll do it after. Carry on.
I'm too excited about the prospect of Casey Anthony being involved. So yeah,
a Casey Anthony line, and then.
Well, I'm just wondering when he finally admitted it, if it was like that, you know, the one part of that trial where she said she worked somewhere, and she took the police like all the way
to
the work. No, to the work.
Yes,
to the job.
It was Disneyland. She said she was Snow White at Disneyland.
Was it?
Yeah, she walked him all through fucking Disneyland for like 4 hours.
No, it was just an office. And then took him all the way to the end of this hallway in an office. And at the end of the hallway, we turned around and was just like, I don't work here.
Fact check
like,
that,
gosh,
Alec.
Like, gosh, all the way.
So,
you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if he tried so hard and then finally was just like, I did it. So I did it myself.
Well, you could just write a book, if I did it.
There you go. And then we can figure it out.
Oof. You know, Jesse Smollett got his start in the Mighty Ducks. That was his first film.
Don't call
him Jesse.
Juicy?
It's Jussie, dude.
I said Jussie.
Jesse.
No, that's a stupid fucking name, by the way.
Sure.
So, Smollett. Yeah, this isn't the first. Oh, here's what the guy said, that Oregon County Commissioner. He said, I do apologize for what I did. I do understand and accept that it was incorrect or wrong. I don't know why he said or. By no means or way did I want to gain the election. So that's his fucking thing. That's a weird apology, but this isn't the first time we've seen this nonsense, even recently, and particularly under Trump. There's actually a list of fake hate crimes that's like 400 or 500 long at this point since the Trump administration started. And somebody wrote a book about it recently that's actually really funny. It's funny in a way that it shows you how fucking pathetic these people are. But the guy's name, the political scientist that wrote the book, I can't remember the name of the book, but his name is Wilford Reilly, R-E-I-L-L-Y, if you want to go look it up.
Yeah, that'd be a great podcast.
Hold on a sec. What's it called?
Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake
Hoax. Yeah, Hate Crime Hoax. That's the name of it. But just think about the super high-profile ones you've seen in the last couple of years. So there was Yasmine Seward, that fucking... where did she go to school? She was a... Get the fuck out of here with your pop-up ads, bitch.
By the way, quick insert on Casey Anthony. It was Universal Studios. I was so close. I thought they're both next to each other.
And she worked like in the office or something?
No, she took them... all the way through. She said she was an event planner at Universal Studios. She led police all through Universal Studios to a building back at the Universal lot. Down a hallway towards the end until she finally turned to them and admitted she didn't work there at Universal Studios.
God, what are you thinking? Like, so while you're walking, they're behind you, right? You're leading them through. In her mind, what did she think was going to, how was that going to shake out? Was she going to give people like eye contact of like, lie for me, say that I work here? I don't know.
You can't fake working at Universal Studios.
Sorry, way off topic. Carry on.
No, not at all.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it recently. I guess Keene College in 2015, that was a big one in New Jersey. If you remember that one, it was like somebody made a fake Twitter account and was threatening black people on campus, and it turned out to be the black guy that was involved in the fucking organization it to himself. Then there was Yasmine Seward, who was the woman in New York who completely fabricated a story about drunk Trump supporters on the train attacking her. I don't know if you remember that one, but she finally got charged in 2019 for that shit. Obviously, there's fucking Juicy Smollett or whatever his stupid fucking name is making up all that bullshit. Hopewell Baptist Burning, the Covington Catholic thing, Wisconsin Parkside, Eastern Michigan University shit, the Air Force Academy bullshit. Like, there's literally hundreds of these cases of completely fabricated stories, and it's unbelievable. The truth is that interracial crime, like white on black on white, whatever you want to call it, is extremely rare. Like maybe 10 to 15% of all crime is interracial, like that. So it just doesn't happen that much, man, because people usually are around people that look like them. That's still the way this country is.
Yeah. And this story, look, isn't surprising. There seems to be this, like you said, fear of missing out of what's the big thing right now? Well, it's racism. All right, great. Well, how do we prove or tell some story or fuck over somebody else? And, you know, they're racist. Here's what happened. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes me sad about the Bubba Wallace thing, because it showed two things. One, it showed that the organization of NASCAR are a bunch of opportunist cunts. And we're perfectly willing to throw him under the bus. It shows, actually, I guess three things. It shows that he's a very immature and doesn't have any fucking understanding of relations in this country and or personal responsibility, because he continues to double down. Now, in fact, calling anybody who criticizes him is a fucking racist or ignorant. You know what I mean? That's the kick he's on now. It's absolute nonsense. And the third thing it showed is that NASCAR drivers and fans, by and large, were pretty willing to fucking condemn any kind of racist behavior. And then he wasted that fucking magic bullet on a hoax.
Right.
Right.
Good job, asshole. And now you're fucking out there on the stump trying to fucking explain away your behavior instead of taking fucking responsibility. You're a cunt.
And I want to point out that he lost another race on
Yeah, he's never won a single race in his career.
Not one.
Congratulations. There's an old saying from racing, you're either fast or you're not, and he's not.
You know who is fast at delivery? Ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Man, they will deliver that mattress to your house faster than you could ever imagine, Jabes.
Absolutely.
About 72 hours.
Especially in these times.
Yeah. Are they doing the 30% bundle package for 4th of July still?
They are, and 25% off plus 2 free pillows.
Oh, if you get a mattress. Mm-hmm. God damn it. Ghostbed is the best. I don't know how they continue to make money, but take advantage of them and get these deals. That is the finest mattress you will ever sleep on in your life. Their ghost pillows are second to none. I fucking love those things. Jammed them in the car on the way out here to Tejas, and I've never slept better at a Red Roof Inn because I was able to swap out that pillow with my own ghost bed.
Good for you.
Yeah, I stop where I get tired. I don't really base it on hotels. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And we also know our buddy Charles Zeller down in Florida, Dan.
Orlando.
Yeah, he's trying to get ghost beds inside their hotels down there. I get it, man. Those are the best in the biz.
That'd be great. That'd be great for ghost bed and for those hotels. Those
in the world, if I could fucking, if I could pick my hotel based on if they had ghost beds or not, that's what I would do. I would stop and be like, all right, cool. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest on that. And it is still applicable with all these amazing deals. The 25% off, the mattress and two free pillows, the 30% bundle package, all of that is applicable. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, NBC is prioritizing diversity. But are they? This week, they made a pledge, I would say, Dan. Everybody's making a pledge now.
Yeah.
That's 50% of their newsroom is going to be ethnically diverse.
Gender and ethnic. So
yeah,
it's they want to have 50% women and 50% people of color, essentially. They didn't set any kind of time limit on this, obviously, so you can, that's how you know that it's bullshit. But let's say for the sake of argument that it was real. And that they actually intended on doing this for the female part, absolutely. As a matter of fact, it should be 51% because that's how many that's the ratio of male to female in this country usually. I'm fine with that. I think that's a worthwhile endeavor, particularly if you're in a media is one thing. The technical and production side of media is pretty light on females for the most part, so I'm fine with that. And just like STEM, it's the same thing. The other part about having 50% people of color. Let's get into this because,
I think I know where you're going with this. If we're looking at the breakdown of the percentages of race across the country,
right?
Look, this has been the age-old argument in Hollywood forever, right? Everybody says we need to diversify movies and put more black people in movies. The problem that Hollywood executives have had with that argument is they only represent 13% of the population,
right?
Therefore,
well,
it is hard to get a blockbuster film out of an all black cast is that's what they have said over the years.
Yeah. That is absolutely true. There have been some private studios that have done that. Like Tyler Perry, I believe, has done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some smaller ones have done the same. But I want to look at the numbers because they're talking about. Having this is their production capabilities, not necessarily their hosts and shit. They want to have half of their people be minorities. So in America, in the United States, 76.3% of people are white. Not 50, not 60, not even 70. 76.3% of people are white. So at what point does this, if 50% of your workforce is people of color, you're now underrepresenting white people by 26.3%. Are we going to fucking start bitching about that or something? I mean, what the fuck? Is this about equality, or is it about something else? Because I try to give people the benefit of the doubt when they say, hey, we need to do more for people that have less whatever, less money or opportunity or representation, whatever the case is. I'm usually on board with that because I like that idea. But when you're going, when you're doing this to me is third wave feminism. It's not about being equal anymore. It's about fucking making people like you or not like you go away. So right now, NBC Universal is represented by 27% people of color, 8% black, 8% Hispanic, 8% Asian, and 1% Native American. So they're a little heavy on Asians, a little light on black people, but otherwise they're pretty close.
So are they gonna go out and find Native Americans to put in there?
Man,
is that what that means?
I have no idea.
And I'm being genuinely serious.
I really don't know.
Besides watching Yellowstone, I haven't seen too many Native Americans in a while. We certainly have never had any apply for positions in Hollywood.
No, I mean, it's, I don't know how you would even quantify that, to be honest, or what that might look like. I know that the idea of reservations and shit like that made sense at the time, maybe. But I feel like isolating and segregating never works. Even when it's a benefit, even when there's casinos and funding involved and stuff like that, I just don't think it works. This is just basic mathematics. If you say you want things equal, that means equal representation, right? Which means if there's 76.3% white people, 76.3% people in any field should be white. Technically speaking, that is correct. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Because that's how math fucking works. So yes. What is the point of this? And I say the same thing. I'm actually making a video tomorrow about the kneeling for the flag thing. Kneeling for the flag, however you feel about it, for the anthem, was designed to gain attention to an issue. Does anybody not know at this point that there's a race issue in the country? Whether you believe it's true or not, you're right. All aware of the problem, yes? Everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. So are you trying to make a point? Or are you trying to make a scene at this point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you trying to help the cause, or are you just trying to fucking get clout? And I think it's the latter in this case.
It feels like it. And I don't know if you caught this last night, Dan, but the MLS came back last night. And look, I'll take any live sports anytime, anywhere at this point.
Yep.
So they were on ESPN, and they started off by kneeling. Everybody had a fist toward the sky, and then it said all Black Lives Matter across the billboards in the back and everything else. I'm with you on this. It feels like overkill at this point from executives, where it's painted in the streets. It's everywhere you go at this point. If you're not aware of it, it feels like you're late to it now. And it feels like all these organizations are trying to catch up to be like, see, we're not racist. We're not racist. We're doing it too, right? Where I'm with you, Dan. By the time football season rolls around, everybody and their mother will have done this at this point. And it feels, I don't know, it feels just kind of shitty.
There's stuff that you can actually do, by the way. You can, instead of putting on some theatrical bullshit at the during the game, you can spend some of the billion, like if you're the NFL particularly, you can spend some of the $15 billion in profit that is tax-free that you make every fucking year to employ some black people to educate and put them in careers with upward mobility instead of running your fucking mouth and painting words on fields, you little bitch. Like, you're fucking so many people over by grandstanding right now. Not only the movement, but actual human beings are suffering because you won't do what's right. Like, if you're Snoop Doggy fucking dipshit out there running your fucking suck hole about this and that and calling people who don't agree with you racist, maybe you should stop paying a fucking blunt roller $50,000 a year and put somebody in fucking college, you piece of fucking shit. Jesus Christ, man. I'm so fucking sick of these people that all they do is talk and run their mouth and try to bloviate and make political points and they never actually do anything. Fuck you.
Yeah, and by the way, Dan was not joking about that. Snoop Dogg actually pays his blunt roller $50,000 a year. That is a paid position that Snoop Dogg has for someone. So if you're out there and you're really skilled at blunt rolling, you can make a great living out of it at Snoop Dogg's house for $50,000. I wish some blunt rolling devices came in. Boxofawesome.com, our next sponsor. I feel like they're getting close. They have everything else. They have every single piece of bar equipment you can want.
Right.
They've got the knives. What's the you're a
the
great
cleaver
cooker
or what?
It's the
oh, they've got the
one.
The handheld chopper for meat for shredding meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. I've gotten dop kits. I've gotten whiskey decanters. I know a photo. It just started circulating maybe 20 minutes ago of Johnny Depp's. The inside of his house. Pretty much everything on the inside of on that table you can get at
Box of Awesome.
Yeah. Not leather bracelets, though, I don't think.
No,
right.
I'm
cocaine not included.
I'm wearing a bandana tied around mine for Johnny Depp.
I mean, look. If a box was awesome, there's a decent chance there's some cocaine. You don't know that there's not cocaine in there.
Trace amounts.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we can't advertise that, and they would hate us for even saying that. I hope they're not listening right now. Shit. You think they listen to these?
You know, they do, and we.
They
got,
must not. They must not.
We
get in trouble every like maybe
basically.
every 50th ad read. Probably we get in trouble.
Yeah.
Give or take.
We get a nice email.
We do. We do. Go to boxofawesome.com. They're the fucking best, man. It's a subscription. You get 20% off your first box with the promo code Drinking Bros. And I'm a huge fan of those. I've been a subscriber for 2 years now at this point. And you just get a box of something rad. It knocks it down to like $40.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the best. the Johnny Depp thing, man, it was so fucking awesome. Like all of that shit. I'm rooting for him. You know, if he really does start his day off like that, four lines of cocaine, a glass of whiskey.
Think about it from his perspective. Yeah, exactly. Think about it from his perspective. He spent all that time with Hunter S. Thompson. And this was after Hunter S. Thompson was older, so he wasn't traveling as much. He was set, and he had his daily routine down. So that routine that you've heard us read live before is probably what he was doing. You can't do that for fucking 4 or 5 months and not have it become a learned behavior. It just doesn't work that way.
Absolutely. He came by it honestly, basically.
And good for him. Like, look, I don't agree with, you know, being abusive or being a cunt or anything, but if you want to start your day off with 4 lines of cocaine, then God bless you. I don't even believe in God.
And that picture that Amber Heard showed on the stand about 20 minutes ago, right afterwards, of Johnny Depp's head inside of the nightstand, sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that that was the same day. That could have been a different day.
Been a different time.
I trust Johnny Depp's process.
Right.
I mean, it's turned into quite a bit of good art, not chocolate or whatever that stupid movie was.
Show chocolat.
Oh, you mean chocolat?
No, I mean exactly what the fuck I said.
I mean chocolate.
Jesus Christ. You fucking kidding me?
Chocolat?
That's like putting a bow tie on a fucking turd. Yeah, it's still a piece of shit. Motherfucker.
Do you like cheese or fromage?
Yeah. Fromage. Next up, college football is definitely unlikely, and other sports are starting to suffer.
Yep.
Touched on this for a few seconds on RPR this morning, but this is going to get brutal. Stanford has now cut 11 varsity sports, including men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed, and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling.
Yep.
The last two are the biggest ones.
Yep.
Men's volleyball and wrestling are massive. Synchronized swimming, that's just something I used to get off to. That was a kink back in the day, so
sure.
I'm going to miss that.
Is it the suits, the number of women, the fact that they're so in sync? What was it that made your dick hard?
It was the overhead shots.
Yes, the overhead shots, and then the feet stuff, you know, from the overhead shots.
Mm, yeah. So you're a feet
water.
Guy.
Well, no, there was a lot of water on them, you know, and that would go down. And
so you're a wet foot guy.
Wet foot guy. Everybody knows that.
So do you walk around with like a bottle of water, and if you see a good-looking woman, you just dump some water on her feet and apologize? Like, oh, sorry. Oh, didn't mean to do that.
Before Jesse gets home, I dump out a gallon of Smart Water on the floor.
Yeah.
She's never figured it out until right now.
Well, sorry about that.
But before we came on air, Dan, you and I were having a conversation. Who is it? The ACC, you said? That was...
They're canceling all fall sports except for football, basically.
And that just got announced right before we went on air.
Yeah, was it like... Well, I mean, it was a couple of hours ago, I think.
Shit.
Let's see. Yeah. ACC delaying... No, they're not canceling. They delayed everything until September 1st. So I don't know when these other... like, wrestling and shit like that happens in the fall. I don't know when it actually starts, but they're definitely going to postpone it. And then... Breaking news, 24 minutes ago, the Big Ten announced that they're only doing in-conference games this year.
No way.
Yep.
Are you fucking kidding me? I did not hear this.
I wouldn't kid you, Ross. I never would.
God, so Ohio State pulled their players off the field yesterday.
Why? What do you mean pulled them off the field? Like, oh, Corona! Did they call gas, and put their pro mask on and run inside? What do you mean called them off the field?
Close. So they got the test results back, and then... The coaches went out to the field and called off 7 teams. Football was included and then some other things. So all I can imagine is everybody was out practicing. The test came in and it was like Maury Povich, where it was just like, we got to run. Like they're sprinting to the thing of like, get ready. You are the father. And then everybody erupted. That's my only thought process behind this. So I assumed everybody blew the whistle and called everybody back. I have not heard that about the Big Ten, but interestingly enough, a couple people have told me, though, that the major conferences were looking and hoping to move all games to spring and doing only in-conference games. So this sucks, man. So just talking the story out loud because this is breaking news. Ohio State was scheduled to play Oregon week 2 at Oregon. That will definitely be canceled. That was one of the games of the year. And I think Alabama opening weekend is scheduled to play like shit. I don't know what's going to happen now.
Well, for people who aren't football fans, and particularly college people, college students who are student athletes and play something other than baseball, basketball, or football, and in the central northern Midwest, if you play hockey, I guess, you're fucked because football pays for everything else. Like the only reason that like volleyball exists and wrestling and shit like that exists at universities because football pays the bill for it. As a matter of fact, non-athletic programs like art programs and shit like that also only exist because of the revenue generated by college football. So there's going to be so many downstream effects from this that are like, you would think that it would be pretty tolerable for the most athletic 18 to 22 year olds on the planet to continue through COVID. You'd think so, because they are the least at risk for this virus. And in every possible way that it could be risky, they are the least at risk for it, because they're lean and fucking athletic and young and healthy.
Yeah, and since we're talking about this, Dan and I are going to do an extra bonus show this week for sports to cover the Masvidal fight.
Well, we can also cover how Mike Perry apparently got into a bar fight in Texas Tuesday and used a racial slur. So good job, buddy.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about, but because I think now that this has just been announced, because this is breaking news about the Big Ten, probably all conferences will follow suit. And we will have more info on this tomorrow on our bonus show for the week. But Dan, the last thing that I'm curious about is we have a lot of Notre Dame fans that listen to the show. They are not in a conference. So if everybody moves to an all-conference schedule, what happens to Notre Dame, one? Two, they never compete for a national title anyways or any good in the playoffs. Will anyone care? Is it a tree in the forest type situation?
My guess is they will probably join up with a conference that's nearby. Like Notre Dame would obviously be, they would you know, get in the Big Ten. Anybody that's out east, is either you're going to go Big East or that doesn't even exist. They're rebuilding Big East now, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Big East still exists. Notre Dame would make sense to jump into the Big Ten. And I know the Big Ten is ass. There was a rumor that before Rutgers, they ended up with Rutgers, which is the worst goddamn school in the nation, that they had asked Notre Dame before, and Notre Dame said no, because then they would have had to share those TV rights for those Saturday games that every single one of them is televised.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, the ACC made a big push for Notre Dame back in the day, too, so they could play there, although I don't know how that makes sense traveling from Indiana to the East Coast all the time.
I don't either. Technically,
Indiana is in the Eastern time zone, though, so maybe – I don't know if that's how they're basing it. I don't know what they're doing decision-wise on this, but I know there's also the American Conference, but they're kind of spread out, right? They're all over the fucking place, so I don't know how they're going to handle that stuff. Here's what they should do. Notre Dame should just take the year off because they suck anyways.
Yep.
And let's give them all target packages and assault rifles and whatever, and just send them after all the pedophiles in the Catholic Church so we can get rid of some of these motherfuckers, man.
Hey,
because college football could wait a year, but raping children, that's a priority. Got to get rid of that stuff.
Got to get that out of there. So we'll have more on this tomorrow. Dan and I will do a bonus show this week and give you all of the bets from mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. We get 50% back.
Speaking of sports,
where you look, KillcliffCBD.com is our chief sponsor for the sports show, and we'll be drinking a lot of that tomorrow as we chat about the breaking news here in sports as well as that fight. KillcliffCBD.com, that's the best on the planet. 25 milligrams in every single can, man.
And, you know, they've got a new mascot now. Have you seen this?
No, what is it?
It's the Castle Master.
The fuck is the Castle? I didn't think we were.
Look up Castle Master on the interwebs, and you will find it. Killcliff Castle Master, you'll find it. It's the. Hold on, let me see what the guy's name is. The dude that plays him. He was in Year One. That big fucking dude. The guy that signed on to play Andre the Giant in that fucking biopic about Andre the Giant.
Is it Mountain? Is it Mountain?
No, he's here. Let me see if I can find his fucking name.
So they're doing biopic on Andre the Giant?
Yeah, it was supposed to start before. But it didn't because of COVID. Like, they were just going to start filming. I can't find this guy's name.
That documentary was the best, though. I'm wondering how much better you can get than that.
Well, I mean, it's a biopic, so who knows, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see some of the stories play out. KillcliffCBD.com, no THC in the can, so you will not piss hot. You will not fail any drug test. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off and free shipping there. Orange Kush, mango, and the grape, the grapest of all time, is my favorite. Go to KillcliffCBD.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off and free shipping. Man, I feel like we say this next story week after week. CNN is completely full of shit. You wanted to talk about the Kanye thing, so you address that one. There was one that I wanted to talk about with CNN this week.
It's Matthew Willig. Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
He's playing
Andre the Giant?
Yeah, he's playing Andre the Giant. He's also the new, like, he's the castle master. He's playing that role
for these guys.
He is very funny, and he's a giant man.
Yeah, he's a huge guy. That could work.
It's like 6'9" or some shit. Anyways, with regard to Kanye, so I'm sure, I don't know if you guys have been, I just imagine that everybody's been Googling Kanye over the last couple of days. So if you run into the CNN article, basically what it said, here's what the fucking title of the article read on CNN. It says, Kanye West says he had coronavirus and reveals he no longer supports Trump. That's the title of the article. Now, the article is only like 6 paragraphs long. It's a lot of it is quotes from Kanye. So here's what the article actually says. This is a quote from Kanye. I'm not denying it. I just told you to say that the black vote is democratic is a form of racism and white supremacy. I'm not saying Trump's in my way. Or that first statement that where he says that the assumption that voting Democrat is a form of racism, white supremacy, he is correct. Yeah. First. Yeah. Also, that's the fucking headline. That is the headline. Like, prominent black figure says the Democratic Party demanding their vote is racist. That is the headline. That is the number one story that happened at us. Anyways, moving on, he also said, I'm not saying Trump's in my way. He may be part of the way in my way. But Joe Biden, like, come on, man, please, you know. Obama special, Trump special. We say that Kanye special. America needs special people to lead. Bill Clinton, he was special. Joe Biden's just not special. That's what he actually said.
That was his actual quote.
That's the all end quote?
Yeah, that was the actual quote. And I love when people talk about themselves in the third person. You know, sure. I've always been a fan of that.
Oh, yes.
The only negative thing that I remember him saying about Trump is that he didn't like, he said it was a bad look that Trump was in the bunker when there were those protests in D.C. I would have this conversation with Kanye and say, dude, he doesn't actually control that. The Secret Service can pretty much...
Not.
Like, if there's a security threat, the Secret Service takes control of everybody, including the President of the United States. He cannot tell them no in that situation. So, you know, I get from an outsider's perspective seeing that. However, that's Kanye. That's not CNN. CNN knows better.
Mm-hmm.
And they just do whatever the fuck, man. Like, it's every single time.
Every single time. My biggest gripe with CNN this week was Don Lemon sitting down with Terry Crews. And Terry Crews trying to say, hey, man, why doesn't Black Lives Matter cover black-on-black death, in particular in Chicago? So he was saying, I don't understand. If all Black Lives Matter, why aren't we looking after the children? Because there was, I believe, 8 children, black children, that were shot and killed over the weekend. And he goes, I don't understand why it isn't encompassing everything. And Don Lemon jumped in and corrected him. And he goes, well, no, Black Lives Matter is only about police brutality.
Yeah.
Terry Crews' point was, if you're using the slogan Black Lives Matter, it should be about everyone. Why are we not protecting our children and protecting our own race from getting shot and over again every single weekend? And he got buried for it by Don Lemon.
Don Lemon was saying that this movement is about police brutality. If you want to start something about that, start it on your own. He's like, well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to do here, homeboy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to make sure that everybody's included in this, including 80-year-old retired police chiefs that get fucking murdered for trying to defend a local store. People like that, they're also important. Like, everybody is. But that's the problem. Again, I say this all the goddamn time. This is the problem with fundamentalism. There's no sense of irony. Like, you don't understand when something you're saying is fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Because you're in an echo chamber. You're constantly hearing all that shit. CNN is the biggest piece of shit in news media today. Like, it's not even close. At least MSNBC and Fox have the balls and temerity to say out loud which side they're supporting. CNN pretends to be down the middle, which is fucking patently false, by the way. You can't find good coverage on that. You can't find good coverage in any news media, in my opinion, but you definitely can't find it here. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they just posted an open letter from Robert Redford, like, 2 days ago, I think, discussing why he's voting for Biden and why you should, too. It's a fucking campaign ad that they posted from an old fucking Hollywood dude. Nobody wants to hear these motherfuckers. No one goes to vote for somebody because Robert fucking bullshit Redford tells them to, bitch.
Exactly.
If I want to hear about making a movie, I'll ask you. But politics, I don't need to hear from somebody that's been rich for 60 years.
Yeah, no, and all these guys switch sides and they don't really give a shit, nor do the networks. So today, there was two big moves in the cable network landscape, I guess you'd say. Shep Smith, who was on Fox News for, 1,000 years?
Yeah, he's going to CNBC or something?
Yeah,
no, CNBC.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to CNBC, and then Joy Reid is now taking the night slot at MSNBC, which she was there, But if you remember
which night slot, the one that Lawrence O'Donnell was in, like 7 the later
PM.
One?
Yeah.
No, 7 p.m. was Chris.
7 p.m.
Chris, what the fuck was his name? Shit, I don't remember. It was Chris something or other. Chris Hayes. And then it's the woman, the gay woman. What's her name?
Maddow?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow. And then it was Lawrence O'Donnell after them. So that was the three primetime spots.
Yeah, so now primetime is now classified as like 9. So like Hannity and those guys are at 9. So the 7 p.m. slot is interesting, especially for Joy Reid. If you recall, a couple years ago, she was the one who got popped for writing those blogs about how much she hated gay people.
Yeah.
And I mean, over and over and over again. Then she got caught in a lie by the network. You know, they used the Wayback Machine or whatever the fuck it's called.
She was hacked, though.
Yeah, then she said she was hacked after that.
Yeah, just like Draymond Green was hacked when he posted his fucking 35-foot donger on fucking Twitter. Give me a break.
Yeah, and he should have been proud of that thing.
Yeah, that thing is massive, dude. I mean, look, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing thing I've ever seen, but it was huge.
No, I felt like I was watching Anaconda 2.
Like if you've got a shitty – if you're at a shitty restaurant, just give people the biggest burger you can fucking make.
Yeah.
And it offsets the fact that the burger sucks.
How was the restaurant? Man, it was the biggest burger I've ever had. Was it any good? It doesn't really matter.
But it was the biggest.
But you should see it.
You should give it a gozy.
I kind of feel bad for Draymond because he's got to walk around tucking that thing back all the time. There's no way he's walking around with it dangling. There's no way. Right?
Imagine
a baguette hanging. Yeah.
Like he's only 6'5". I know only sounds stupid, but the dick size for him at a 6'5", it's not like he's fucking... It's not proportionate. He's still got a fucking hammer on him. He needs to calm down. I think we may need to get medical assistance for him.
Imagine if we gave him a Roman.
Oh, God.
From GetRoman.com/drinking bros. Imagine if we gave him a boner pill.
Have you ever pulled your dick backwards and then fucking let it go and let it slap somebody in the face? If he did that, it would be a fucking crime. It would be assault and battery if he did that. Jesse, calm down.
I bet you if you're eating it, if you're having brunch with him, I bet you that thing in the middle of brunch would reach up and grab an apple off the table and stuff it right up his ass like an elephant. You know?
Yeah.
Big one. He's got a trunk on him, Jabes.
What do you think?
Real trunk on him.
What do you think elephants think about us when they see us naked? Like, how are you going to pick something up with that little thing?
How do you
breathe out of that?
Yeah, they just give you that nudge.
Can you imagine if you breathed out of your dick? That'd be great, man.
It'd be wonderful.
You wouldn't have to worry about getting choked out and jujitsu and stuff.
Can you imagine
how would jujitsu change if you breathed through your dick instead of your fucking head?
Imagine like, if you're smoking a cigarette though. Outside
to do a triangle choke on somebody's dick.
It would change police brutality, probably.
Yeah. Shit.
So will boner pills. Go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today. Free doctor visit, so you don't have to go in and see your doctor if you have erectile dysfunction. She doesn't have to judge you. She probably knows your wife and your whole family because you probably go to the same doctor. Go online. Go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today and order up some boner pills. Have them shipped discreetly to your house in a package that no one will know, including your mistress.
Or get those little swipes.
Yeah
swipes too.
Pee hole, swipey, dude.
Fast acting.
Go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, inmate number one, The Rise of Danny Trejo.
Finally.
An unrated film.
Ugh. Yes.
About Trejo's life, now streaming on all the usual platforms. You might remember Trejo from one of the 7,000 movies that he's been in. Fuck, how many has he done for me? Three? Four.
I think it's like in the above 300 at this point.
Love him. Love working with the guy. He's one of the easiest to work with, and he was in Range 15 as well. Great fucking guy all the way around. Detailed in the documentary are the armed robberies. At the time of San Quentin, when he became his time at San Quentin, when he became a boxing champion, and look, he's got no qualms about telling you who he is in his entire life.
Yeah, he doesn't like he's not somebody that's probably offended very easily. Like somebody asked him in an interview, they were like, "Hey, you're always the mean Chicano guy with tattoos," and he's like, "Well, I am the mean Chicano guy with a bunch of tattoos."
Yeah, pretty like, fucking what the fuck? Cool like that. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you're Danny Trejo, you know who you are. I would expect, right? Like,
yeah.
And the reason for the name of the title, Inmate Number One, is that's what he played in a bunch of movies where they give I'll tell this insider story, but I sat with his agent about possibly writing his book.
Oh, okay.
And so he told me all of the stories. She told me all the stories. And there was one. I want to watch this documentary because there's one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. And I don't think legally he could probably tell it. And I want to see if it's if it actually made the documentary. But they had him and his manager or his agent. Her name is Gloria Hinojosa. They have the best marketing plan. They're the ones that have executed Trejo's Donuts, mm-hmm. Trejo's Tacos, mm-hmm. Trejo Beer. Like, they've done all of this branding for him, which is genius. Like, and I love all of their stuff. They had the greatest title for this book of all time. It was called From X-Con to Icon. And I was like, ugh.
Brilliant.
You win
Brilliant.
The day with this. And I was like, you already see the cover. They wanted it in black and white with just his face from X-Con to Icon. And
I think if you were to paraphrase his market, you know, his marketing plan, it would be to lean in. Like, he's just
he's leaned into it his entire career. Yes.
The whole thing, and has just gone with it, never said no, exactly like that quote that Dan said, which was like, this is what I am. So
yes.
No. I mean, I'm typecast as myself, so whatever, right?
Yeah.
I think he's fucking awesome.
I'm going to go start auditioning for a bunch of the quirky best friend next door roles.
Yeah.
That's who I am as a person.
And win the Oscar, because that will never fucking
happen. And that'll be the name of your documentary, quirky Girl Next Door.
Oh, my gosh, yes. If we could get Dan to do that character convincingly.
So good.
I'll play Patton Oswalt's character from King of Queens. And if I could pull it off, I should absolutely win an Oscar.
Or like
for
a Kramer type sitch where you like bumble in. Like,
I am a lot like Kramer. So I'll fucking just let myself into your
you
house.
Definitely
but usually
are.
I'm armed and on drugs, which is slightly different than Kramer.
Yeah. And Kramer did have like no filter and
that's true.
Yeah.
I guess you are more like Kramer than I would think, except for that, you know, little half step into the room. But
I don't have what do you call it? A garbage disposal in the bottom of my shower. That's one thing we don't have
in
common.
That's one thing you guys don't have.
Yeah. Like, I usually wait until I get out of the shower to wash my vegetables. But, you know, I can make it happen. It's not a big deal.
I feel like, though, in the future, that might be right up your alley.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Next up, the U.S. has officially withdrawn from the WHO, World Health Organization.
Sorry, I thought this already happened.
It did, and we talked about this earlier at the top of the show.
No, he just announced that he was going to do it, what, two or three weeks ago, and now
and
it's official. It's
through.
Done.
All right.
Yeah. So he is actually out of that. How big of a deal is this? And why is everybody else making a big deal about it, Dan?
I mean, it's a big deal because I hate to fucking go full on Alex Jones, but there is a big push to make things globalist lately over the last probably 25 or 30 years, and it probably really started back with the people in the late 40s, early 50s, when the UN was kind of conceptualized and when we were carving up the world. Like, people think that colonialism is a long-lost white art. We actually did it just in the middle of the 20th century again. We carved up fucking the Middle East. We carved up fucking Europe. I mean, we're all so full of shit. But anyways, critics say this is going to weaken the global response to stuff. Obviously, like, a big part of the WHO is research. A big part of it is education and making sure people know what's going on. But if that's your fucking pitch, if that's your product, and regardless if it's a fucking nonprofit or not, you're still producing a product, right? The product is information and supplies and assistance and whatever the case is here. But when you fail abjectly during what we're told is the biggest crisis in 100 years, then you got to go, bitch. I'm sorry. Like, if you fail at your job, you're done.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how fucking life works. This isn't fucking, there's no cronyism here. If you either do the job or you don't. And if you don't, then you're done.
Okay.
Just how it works, man.
I agree. And I'm tired of this shit. Anything that is funded with communist countries and shit like that, we're never going to get real answers. So I just don't, I don't know what the point is.
I don't either.
And, you know, it reminds me of the Paris climate treaty, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, no, we need to, America needs to throw in a gajillion dollars into this fucking thing. And it was like, why? If we can't control what's coming out of China or India pollution-wise, why are we dropping all this money when they don't give a fuck? Like, their populations are double and triple the size of us. They're just throwing shit in the air.
Yeah,
just,
well, this is
aerosol cans in the air and fucking lighting them on fire. So who cares?
This isn't unlike the UN, which I think this move should absolutely put the UN on notice. Like, you're fucking next, bitch. I think we fund about 90% of the United Nations. You guys know that? 90%.
Yeah.
I mean, mother of fucking God. And what the fuck does the UN do?
And what have they done for us?
I have no idea. I mean, we spend, this is American, like modern American, not classical, but modern American liberalism at its finest. Mm-hmm. We spend billions, 90% of an organization, to have fucking third world dictators coming and lecture us on fucking morality. Get fucked, bitch. The UN's got to go, brother. They do shit. All these bloated, ineffectual bureaucracies that are bent on gaining more globalist power can suck my dick and balls.
Sure.
At the same time, preferably.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't start with
one without the other. Put your mouths in.
Their mouths are big enough and they're poor, so I know they're hungry.
Yeah. I think that quote should be on a shirt.
Their mouths are big enough and they're poor, so I know they're hungry. I love it.
Last but not least, flags return to an Alabama church. Apparently, sometime recently, a man entered a church in Alabama and stole flags that were designated for 100 veterans in the area. The culprit left a note after returning several of the 100 American flags that had names of veterans on them on the grounds of the First Baptist Church in Grand Bay.
That's
Grand Bay, Alabama, yeah. Whoever stole them returned them to the church with a note that read, "I'm sorry for taking the flags. I did not mean any disrespect. I was drinking, and I had a dumb idea. Oh. I had no idea that there were names of fallen heroes." I don't know what this person was up to or what they were thinking, but...
this is sort of a...
It's pretty embarrassing. And
it's
like,
embarrassing, but it's like... I like the honesty.
I did too.
You know?
Here's what's really embarrassing is that a drunk, thieving asshole has more love and respect for his country than liberals in this country. That's what's fucking embarrassing.
Right.
You fucking kidding me? like this guy gets home and sees like,
despite
the despicable things that I've just done that are probably fucking stupid...
Right.
This is
really bad.
There's no way I'm going to disrespect the fucking military and our troops.
I got to give it to them.
So do I. So this one was a negative that turned into a positive and actually had a nice message. Because look, we've all done fucked up shit. And if you just return it with
drinking.
A nice note. Yeah. And say, hey, man, I'm super sorry about this. Like,
and the church members and staff were super magnanimous about it. They were like, look, we don't want to know who it is because... like, it doesn't help them or us or anybody else for them to get publicly shamed about it. Like, they did something stupid and then made it right. The end.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it kind of reminds me of, what was that case recently? The Central Park Karen, the guy, the black dude that she called the cops on is refusing to cooperate with authorities because, A, he feels like she's gotten enough by now, and B, he's like, what difference does it make if we keep driving this into the ground? Aren't we trying to fucking unify here? Like, that is a fucking honorable and respectful man that realizes that this one piece of shit woman doesn't represent all fucking white people and his actions reflect that. That's what an adult acts like, by the way, you fucking children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the Drinking Bro of the Week. This one was submitted by Matt Madison from Ohio, who's been a member of Drinking Bros for 3 years. He's also nominating Anthony Dia. We talked about Anthony Dia here, the police officer from Toledo who was shot.
Yeah.
And
that's a 26-year-old kid, right?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of messages about him. And then, I also got hit up since we're on this. And again, we do these live on air, so we never know what they are because we want them to be fresh. Since we are talking about this, because there's a lot of police officers that are being killed in the line of duty these days, I want to talk about when we had Mike the Cop on. A bunch of cops hit me up from Alabama in the city of Moody, the town of Moody, Alabama, where that officer was killed as well.
Yeah, he was one of the fucking founders of Humanize the Badge with Mike the Cop and Justin Daniels and a couple of other people.
Yeah, so I talked to my buddy Goose, who was also at that funeral, by the way. And, man, You don't hear dudes in particular don't share their feelings all that much publicly to each other. But that one, he was just like, man, I cannot honestly tell you how much this has torn my community apart. Like, I honestly can't put it into words. And he was like, hearing it on the show made us cry because it's a tiny town, man. And it, that with a show like this that has over 9 million listeners, like, it doesn't get that much exposure to it. And they were all super grateful and thankful. And we were like, no, man, we're grateful for you guys out trying to protect us every single night all over the country when a bunch of shitheads are trying to kill you. So by all means, like, we have no problem repeating stories or any of this stuff. Like, keep submitting, and we will get to all of these guys. And we are grateful that you were listening every single day out there. 80% of our audience is military and first responder. And we realize you guys are listening in your patrol cars and your ambulances and all that every single day. And we are unbelievably grateful to you.
Wow. You left firefighters out of that, you piece of shit?
Ah, firefighters too, yeah.
No, it's too late now, bitch.
Sorry, Joe.
We're going to come burn your new house down now.
Wilmington, North Carolina. Sorry, Joe.
If you're in the Austin Fire Department, any of the districts out there, make sure if you get a call from Ross Patterson that you do not answer.
Don't go. Yeah.
Or show up instead of shooting water on the fire, shoot gasoline on that bitch. Fuck these guys.
Just show up and piss in my front yard, you know?
Yeah, or like, dump out in it. I mean, that's a good prank, by the way. If really you like to shit in your neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Because they don't know if it's a big dog or like a sick human.
Sure.
Wait, welcome to the neighborhood. Here's a human shitting in your front yard.
Yeah.
We miss you, D'Anthony. We'll be reunited soon. We will have a bonus episode up tomorrow to cover the UFC fight this weekend. Big one. Street Jesus signed on at the last second. A lot of people are asking us about who our bets are in that one. So we're going to do a live show about that. And then I have a feeling there's going to be massive fallout from this Big Ten breaking news story that Dan just told you about a few minutes ago. That I give this, what do you say, Dan, 12 hours before everybody else follows suit?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I maybe tomorrow by 4 p.m. I expect to hear other conferences saying the same thing.
I'm going to give it till tonight, probably by 8 o'clock. I guarantee the SEC will follow in the Big 12. That is my guess. But we will be here with you tomorrow to chat about it and then go over our predictions and see what will happen in that. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. the Jables, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.